Let's get right into the first topic. As I think most of our listeners will know, the Liberal Party has been grabbing headlines over the last few weeks with their carbon tax or green shift proposal. The idea is we introduce a tax on carbon emissions and offset that with income tax cuts and other measures to soften the blow of the potential of price inflation and things of that nature. Let me start, I guess, with Northern BC Dipper. Do you think that this plan is workable? I know that the government in BC is also introducing a carbon tax. How do you think this is going to affect people, and do you think Stéphane Dion will be able to sell his plan to voters?
Well, I believe that while a carbon tax, if set up, could work properly, the plans by both Gordon Campbell and Stéphane Dion are not going to really do anything. Basically, I'd say that they're interesting tax policy, but I'm not sure if they're going to clean up the environment. The problem is the revenue neutrality part of it, where basically you pay out gas taxes and various other fuel taxes, stuff that produces carbon, and then you're supposed to get the money back via income tax and $100 checks. But the problem is that with this revenue neutrality, there is no devotion to things that are going to actually allow both businesses and individuals to switch from our current carbon-based polluting economy to one that is more environmentally friendly. Because with a $100 check, no individual could set up the systems we need, such as geothermal heating in homes, which Manitoba has a program in which people could get cheap loans in order to convert their heating systems from carbon-based fuels to geothermal. It doesn't help create transit systems or municipal recycling systems. So unless any plan shifts money into things that will help people transition, I believe it's not going to work.
And I think quite aside from the question of whether or not it's a plan that's going to work or is the right policy for Canada this time, there's also the question of will it sell politically. It's very difficult, I think, to go around campaigning on a tax increase, and I noticed that the Liberals have been framing it as a tax cut, of course, because there would be shifting that income off of income taxes and onto carbon. Sean, the Conservatives have attacked the plan as being something that will negatively impact provinces like Alberta and Saskatchewan, who are dependent on oil revenues for their economies. How do you think this plan is going over in those provinces?
Well, I know here in Saskatoon and Saskatchewan and Alberta in general, it depends who you listen to, though. I mean, if you want to pay attention to the far right or just the conservative base in this area, you're starting to hear a lot of Western alienation, National Energy Plan 2. Heck, you even have people starting to talk about secession and Western independence. But, I mean, I think that sort of extreme reaction is more of a on the fringe of the right, more or less, and just people trying to stoke that sort of Western fires that they seem to want to stoke. And I don't know. I think Dion was right to come out and say, he said it on John Gormley is a very popular conservative radio host in Saskatoon here, heard all over Saskatchewan. He came out and said on the radio that this will hit Alberta and Saskatchewan the hardest because we have some of the highest emissions per capita in the country. And people don't take kindly to being told that they're going to have to pay more than other people, regardless of the fact that it's their sort of activities that are causing it. So I think in Alberta and Saskatchewan, just the fact that he's a Liberal is hard enough to sell this. But two, you're trying to sell it as and telling people that you're going to be taking money away from them. And they see that money going back to Eastern Canada. So they see it as a money grab of the royalties and the money that the Alberta and Saskatchewan's finally come into. And now what some people are seeing is that it's Eastern Canada taking this money back for them. So that's sort of what I've been hearing around here. But I have to admit that I've been paying more attention to the conservative blogs and conservative sort of based and viewpoints on things lately, just because I find that kind of interesting. So that's sort of that take on it from my perspective, at least.
Right. So let's bring Jean-François into the discussion. What do you think about Dion's climate change package, and do you think it will he'll be able to sell it over the summer barbecue circuit?
Well, I think it's kind of interesting that it's being marketed as his package. I mean, because I've heard the green tax shift so long ago from the Green Party itself, and now I guess it's just removed tax and shifted a little bit, and now it's a liberal plan. I mean, it seems it might not be the same plan, and I haven't actually read through the documents. I've been rather disconnected from politics for a while, so I'm a bit, I guess, less informed than maybe some of the others here, but... the green tax shift is essentially seems the green shift is essentially the green tax shift in liberals' clothing, except you know they have a better marketing spin to it. It seems the fact that they remove tax from the title and then they say it's going to be a tax cut when they do talk about it and probably will appeal to people much more than the way the Green Party is marketing their initiative. So I think it actually is. Appreciated though, it's kind of like now it's an actual platform that the Liberal Party can run on, and I guess well the polls go up and down, but recently I was seeing that in Quebec the Conservatives and the Liberals were tied. I don't know if the Green Shift has any impact on this, but it could be that you know now it seems that they have an actual core. As before, they didn't have so much.
I think you're absolutely right. My father is a candidate for the Green Party, and so I've been hearing about green tax shifts for quite some time. And I think you're absolutely right that the Liberal plan seems to be a watered-down version of the Green Party's plan, which is a little bit more ambitious. But you're right. I think the marketing muscle behind the Liberal Party is really what's driving all this media attention around the policy.
I think that's right, and it's a bit like I think they introduced corporate tax cuts in that plan too, as opposed to the Green Party might not have that. But
I'm not aware of that. But I think you do have to give Dion credit though for finally having that renewed sense of confidence with the Liberal Party. I mean, for so long we've been hearing nothing but Stéphane Dion is not a leader, and the Liberals abstaining on confidence motions and. A real lack of attacks from the Liberals on the Conservative Party, and a real lack of a plan of their own. And I think finally Dion is starting to run with that confidence and sort of project this image of leadership that has been difficult for him early on in his tenure as Liberal leader. I'll throw a question out to the entire panel. I don't know if many of you have sort of looked at the comparisons between the NDP's cap-and-trade oriented climate change proposals versus the Liberals' carbon tax proposals. But what do you think about the contrast between those approaches? Do you think one is better or worse than the other, or is it all just the same in the end anyway?
I'll take a stab at that first. Sorry, I'm just trying to collect my thought here. Okay, here we go. On principle, I think I agree with both together. I don't think one on their own is enough. That our society needs something strong to quickly shift our sort of activities. I don't think the green shift on its own would work, or even the Green Party plan on its own would work. And I don't think that the cap and trade on the NDP side would work on its own. I see the cap and trade as more going after the big polluters, your industrial polluters. But that's only about 50 to 60% of the emission problems in this country. But then you look at the green shift and the green taxes, and that's going after the consumer, it seems more like it. And anything that gets put on the producer is obviously going to get shifted down to the consumer. So I think on theory, both would work together. And I think I think that was my email that just beeped on all of us here. I think we need to have both. And I think it's a little – I think Dion's been a little bit – not truthful when he thinks that this is going to do it and this alone will be the trick. And I also think at the same time that the NDP, by completely coming out against the carbon tax and saying that it's going to hurt the average person and thinking that we can change our ways by just hitting the producers and not hurting the pocketbook of the average Canadian, I think it's a little bit far-fetched as well. So, I don't know if that answered the question.
I think it raised some excellent points. I know a lot of commentators have basically examined the two policies and said, you know, with price increases that'll come with cap and trade, it really amounts to the same policy at the end of the day. I'll ask Northern BC Dipper maybe to expand on this issue of revenue neutrality. And I think he raised the point that under a revenue neutral system, or maybe he didn't raise this point, and I'm putting words in his mouth, that under a revenue neutral system, as soon as the plan starts to work, it seems like it undermines itself, because then government revenues are going to start going down, and those are revenues which could potentially be used to invest in green technologies or to provide low interest loans for retrofitting of homes or other things like that. So, I don't know, could you maybe expand a bit on that point for us, Northern BC Dipper?
I'm not sure how you would like me to expand on
maybe
that.
Maybe I expanded insufficiently, but...
But yeah, I think you expanded it pretty well, but can I take a stab at the cap and trade versus the carbon tax?
Absolutely.
All right. From what I've heard from economists who are interested in the environment, is that the carbon tax and the cap and trade are supposed to be similarly effective. But I'm wondering, has anyone asked them, is cap and trade even effective? I haven't heard good reviews of both carbon taxes and cap and trade in regards to reducing pollution. Now, that's not to say I'm opposed to them. I just like to know more if they actually reduce carbon as opposed to creating a pricing regime. But as to the NDP cap and trade plan, I like it a little better than the Liberal carbon tax, because it's not revenue neutral. It does put money into green technologies. But I believe that cap and trade is much easier to sell. For instance, you could put a tax, you could make the big polluters, big corporations pay. And if prices go up because the corporations are putting in raising their prices because they need to make profit from the carbon tax, well, you could just blame the big corporations again. So either way.
I think, yeah, you raise a good point. One of the interesting things is that some of the polling data that I've looked at has said that when people first hear about the two plans, they favor cap and trade over a carbon tax because, you know, it sounds great. Ah, we're going after these big faceless corporations. But the more people understand about a carbon tax, the more they seem to support it. So it really is an open question, I think, the sellability of both of the plans. And I guess over the summer, as the Liberals go around the country promoting their plan, we'll really see at the end of the day which option, or if any, Canadians seem to favor. Let's move
one thing
on
that
to...
One thing that I'd like to that I wonder about is, I didn't hear so much about this, is I mean, both plans aim to cut pollution, and both probably would. What I wonder is the impact that it would have on the economy, because I do actually want a strong economy, as I'm sure most people do, not all people actually, but and because, you know, then the government can have more revenues, and as you were mentioning, can invest more in finding, you know, investing in research to find green solutions to things. So I wonder which one would actually be less or if it would be any difference of an impact on the economy. Because as you're attacking these big companies, I mean, that sounds great from an underdog point of view, but you do have to still think that, you know, these companies have a large stake in the economy. And as you're trying to fight pollution, which is great, you also don't want to, you know, shatter too much of the economy or you know, dent government revenues to provide for social programs and all these things too, right?
All right, well, let's move on to our next topic of discussion. I think that was a good discussion that we had there, but